Hi everyone, welcome to the App Development Community Stand-Up. I'm Anna. For those that don't know me, I'm a program manager on the WinUI team, and I host the monthly WinUI community calls, so a couple of you might know who I am. But if not, hi, nice to meet everyone, and thank you for joining this stand-up. So today I am really excited to welcome Kevin along with Steven. So Kevin, why don't you take it away and let everyone know what we'll be talking about today.
So today, first, thanks for introducing us and thanks for hosting. We're going to be talking about React Native for Windows today. And then we're going to talk about how Office and Xbox are using React Native for Windows to do and show you how showcasing their applications and experiences.
Awesome. So just to kind of start off a little bit, so I'm familiar with React Native for Windows when it comes to its relationship with WinUI. I know that React Native for Windows apps are native apps that are built on a WinUI layer. So can you tell me a little bit more just about it in general?
So React Native for Windows layers directly on top of our native WinUI library. So you get that native feel and character of Windows, but you can use JavaScript or TypeScript to code it. And if you've worked on your cross-platform with React Native, you can then use that experience on Windows with minor optimizations and modifications. And so we are announcing that we are releasing some new features today, and that's going to be some great stuff for our developers.
Yeah, awesome. So I think a lot of people on the call, one thing that they'll want to hear about is, who's using React Native for Windows? You know, at Microsoft specifically, are there any, you know, first party apps that ring a bell to most people that use React Native for Windows?
So we're going to talk about some today. First one we're really going to talk about is Xbox uses it in some of their premium experiences, like the Xbox application and the xCloud application. We also have being used inside of the Mail and Calendar app that are built into Windows that you can use right when you get it. And in our Office applications, they also have a few experiences where they've built it with React Native. That includes things like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really great to hear. So I know that you mentioned a few new features that we're going to be talking about today. I think you have a video demo to show off some of this cool stuff.
Yep. So the API, the things we've actually added in version 63 is really catching up to some of the core features that have been in React Native in the community for a while. First of all, we've added Logbox APIs, auto-linking support, pressable components now for things like React Navigation. So I've kind of a video here that I'll kind of pull it all together and show it to you.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm gonna be diving into some pieces of the 63 release for React Native for Windows. Now, we've actually added a lot of things under the hood, if you will, in 63 around performance to do with fast reloading, testing actually with the new JavaScript Hermes engine, running comparisons with macOS and Windows, auto-linking, pressable, and so on. But we're going to demo some of the more visual and hands-on updates that were pushed out in 63 with that release right here. So I'm just going to kick this off. And the first thing that we're going to take a look at is you actually can see the auto-linking working right here, right when we set up. But the first thing we're going to take a look at is the Logbox experience. And that experience was something that React Native Core recently rolled out to make it easier to just sort of debug and find where all your changes are. Right off the bat, we can see that this little fancy little dialog down here is a look at the new Logbox experience. And so if you click on this, it gives you a lot more information than it used to, but let's actually look at a real error message here. So I'm gonna hit this go to details. This button's not yet hooked up. We're gonna pop this open and you'll see right here that this is the new experience for debugging, which is super awesome. If you're familiar with React Native, you know that their debugging experience left something to be desired originally, but now you have all this extra information detailing out what the error was, the source of where where it might have occurred, and even a call stack so you can just sort of trace that back to what might have happened. So that's the new Logbox experience, which is super awesome. So let's use it to actually fix the error that we have right now, which will roll us into the new React Native or navigation that we recently pushed out Windows support for in the React Native community module. So this is a details screen, hit save, hit that button, and you'll see that we can now navigate between two separate screens that we've detailed up here. One of the awesome things about the React navigation is the backstack functionality. So right here, I only have two screens and one screen goes back to the other one. So let's actually just add another screen and show how that backstack that you see right here and also built in up here makes it really easy to just add new screens and give you more information. So let's make this secondary. We'll call this secondary. We're going to leave this as a go back. Then we're going to go down here and add secondary. Now we need to get there. So what we're going to do is going to copy this one. We're going to put this down here. We're going to say secondary. Save, go to details, and this one's going to take us to secondary screen. So let's make this secondary. Save. So now if we hit this backstack, you'll notice that this details is happening, and then we're back to overview. So we can just sort of index in, go back with a button by calling it directly or by using the backstack up at the top. And I got to say, as someone who's written their own state machine for React Native before, this is such a super easy and awesome setup. It was 100% necessary for us to support. And we're really happy to have finally gotten that out. The last thing that I want to talk about today is the new platform color API that we actually pushed back up and contributed back to the React Native core. Now this API is string-based and allows you to access the system colors on the platform you're running your app on, so long as you know the name of the color you're looking for. So if you'll notice down here, that we're using the API called platform color. In this case, it's using the accent color of my home computer. So if we go into the details screen, you'll notice that it's very orange. And this is because it's using my accent color of my system currently. So if I were to go here and change this to, let's say, light one and hit save, it's using a different accent color that we've defined on the system. So these accent colors, light one, two, and three, are just variations of the base accent color, which in this case is this really bright orange. So I'm basically just accessing it in through this string value, and I can adjust it to really make my app feel at home on this device. So to sort of drive home that point a little bit further, let's go into my system colors, my system settings here, and actually change my color to be something else, say green. And you'll notice that it's updating there because it's not actually defined as a hex value inside my JavaScript. It's just referencing whatever that color is on the platform that's running on, which in this case is my Windows desktop. So that's really just scratching the surface of how we're deciding to start approaching making your app feel more native visually on the device that you're running on. And we're really excited to push APIs like this and the ones that you just saw out to the community to really help make React Native apps as versatile in the desktop ecosystem as possible without them being like the actual fully native experience.
All right. I mean, that is so cool. I think it's really awesome to see how React Native just makes every app look so native, especially, you know, on Windows, on all the other platforms. Let's see. I think, Kevin, you have something else coming, or actually, Steven, you have another demo for us. So Steven here is from the Xbox team, and he has some really exciting stuff to share with us.
Hey, thanks for the introduction. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft, and most of the time here has been spent working on various store experiences. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our experience building the latest Xbox store with React Native for Windows. And before we jump into the app, I want to talk a little bit about our most frequently asked question, which is why React Native? I think there's two important factors here, which are developer productivity and app performance. The productivity that can be achieved by leveraging React and the JavaScript community is incredible. There's also plenty of open source libraries you can use that are tried and true for different application concepts. So if you take state management, for example, Redux has excellent documentation and integration with React. The knowledge base in the community, in this case, is almost more important than the code itself. You could write your own state management solution using view models and the property change notification interface for your platform. But consider what happens when someone new joins the team. You have to teach them how your specific solution works. And you should just point them at your docs, right? Because everyone has plenty of time to write documentation when working on a software project. On the other hand, if you're using a tried and true open source solution, the new developer can start learning immediately with documents and tutorials that already exist. The other crucial element is application performance. While developing the new Xbox Store, we considered fast launch times and smooth interactions to be top line features. Personally, as a developer that worked with native platform sort of bare metal in the past, C# and XAML, I was pretty skeptical about this. I was thinking, how can you add a JavaScript engine and a rendering abstraction layer, as in React Native, and end up with a faster app? Well, it turns out that there are quite a few other developers trying to make fast, fluid apps in React Native. And this is one, and this is another area where the popularity of the ecosystem and the framework can have a big impact. The huge interest in JavaScript has continued to drive innovations in JavaScript engines over the years. And it's interesting to think about how a JavaScript engine is used in a React Native app as opposed to a web browser. With a web browser, you have to ship a product, and it has to work with the JavaScript that's served by every website. And conversely, all the websites have to send down JavaScript that works with every web browser. React Native apps are a little bit different. You have the opportunity to ship binaries with your app, and you have some influence over which JavaScript engine is used. This is a recipe for some kind of preparation or pre-compilation of the JavaScript. And Hermes is a JavaScript engine which has been built from the ground up with React Native in mind. They take advantage of this fact by supporting a compact bytecode format. And by what that means for experience is that the process of turning text into virtual machine instructions happens as you build your app, as a build step. It doesn't have to happen during startup. So taking a look at the Xbox Store, you can see the Forza Horizon page here. The buttons are laid out horizontally to help with intuitive controller navigation. The app seems like it must have frozen or something. Let me relaunch that real quick. One of my favorite things about how we do these PDPs is how the trailer is presented. When you first see the PDP, it's not sort of in your face, playing in the background automatically. But if you want to, you can just hit up on the D-pad, and you can very quickly check out the trailer, see what's going on. Now, what would it look like to make some styling changes in an app with plenty of source code? I personally don't think that this title stands out enough. Let's go ahead and see if we can just make this red, really give it some really nice bang. I don't know. I think we probably should increase the font size too. On second thought, I should probably leave the designs to the professionals. And just like that, because of fast refresh, we were able to try out just a quick styling change and see it immediately in front of our eyes. The app didn't have to reload. We didn't have to recompile anything. We just are just happy twiddling stuff and experimenting with style sheets. So right now I have this window sized to show you the viewport or what would be visible if this app was running on Xbox. But since this is desktop, we are able to resize the window, and I can show you some of what's happening off screen. So we move up and down these pages, and you can see that the next module is already ready to be, is already rendered, and it just slides into place. This is the idea of rendering things ahead of time or trying to be conservative about what you render is not really a new concept, but it's really interesting how intuitive React Native makes this by using conditional rendering. We also use conditional rendering to make sure that this horizontal list of add-ons doesn't render too much before we go to the module. If we rendered the entire list, it slows down moving up and down the page. And then generally, you just want to try and keep your element tree as small as you reasonably can. And by expanding the window over to the right, you can kind of see a little bit of what's happening off screen when we're rendering this. So as you move to the right, we try to render the card that's about to come into view just in time. And here's a little bit of the conditional rendering that I was talking about. We have a cards component that deals with rendering these smaller cards that are going back and forth. And as we scroll to the right, we simply increase the render count. And this mixture of logic and code. At first, this looks very unusual. Typical native application development kind of trains you to try and avoid doing this. And you're encouraged to separate things out into view models and out into code. And you have markup sheets, and then you have the code that powers it behind. And this is a little different, but it really does make your code more intuitive to be able to just deal with the markup directly in code. You can just have a for loop, and then it only renders as many items as I'm going to tell it to. And that's most of what there is to that. And to actually achieve the scrolling effect here, we just have an animated view, and we apply a horizontal transform to it. And that creates the scrolling effect. A little bit different. I wouldn't suggest doing that for everything. But when you're trying to make an effect where something is moving behind the focused element, it's really powerful to be able to quickly make your own controls and come up with interesting interactions like that. So Kevin mentioned platform color a little bit already. Let's take that a little bit further. Platform color can be used to reference custom brushes that you have. You're not limited by the brushes that are built into the Windows platform. So here you can see the interface definition, the IDL file for our own custom blur brush. We're deriving from XAML composition brush base. And this lets you define your own brush and use composition APIs to define the effects. Here we're using it to implement the blur effects that you see on the background. This is similar to the concept of acrylic, but it's our own special twist, and it lets us blur things a little bit less than the minimum acrylic blur. And if you look at the implementation here, there's really not too much to it. You can just define your effects, chain them together. We're only at 90 lines of code in this file. And once you've created your own custom brushes, then you can simply just define different variations of it in your app.xaml. Once you have these here, you can use them all over the place in your JavaScript. In our brushes.ts file, this is where we, this provides a place for all of our components to consume these brushes. And we're doing the same thing. We're just using platform color, and then we give it a name. And then the system underneath goes and finds the correct resource for us. And since that these brushes are in our application resource dictionary, it's able to find them, and we can use them however we like. And so that's one place where you can really see the power of using React Native and the access to the native platform that you get. You're really not stuck in JavaScript or unable to implement creative solutions if you so choose. Another example of how that works is with native modules. So there's already something that exists in the Windows platform called Element Sound Player. And in general, it's a pretty simple API. You can just tell it to play a sound and then pass it which particular sound you want it to play. And something that makes me very happy is that the native module that exposes that functionality to JavaScript is equally as simple. You just include the native modules header here, declare a struct, make sure to use the React module and the React method macros. And this automatically makes it so that this is a native module that the JavaScript can call into. And the implementation for it is similarly simple. Of course, if you're trying to expose more complex functionality, you may end up with a more complex native module. But it's impressive how little code you need to write to just plumb through something that already exists. Here, I just take in the number that's passed in from the JavaScript. I just quick sanity check, make sure that this is actually a valid sound kind that the sound player can play. And then just cast the int to an enum and tell it to play. Only 20 lines. And this is the TypeScript binding for that. It's similarly a really small amount of code. So between the header, the implementation, and the TypeScript binding, we're only up to about 60 lines of code total. So yeah, I think that React Native on Windows is a great development platform.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stephen. I mean, it's just so cool to kind of dive deep into the code there and really see how everything comes together. You know, I studied JavaScript a lot when I was in school, and it's really cool to see how JavaScript comes together with native code to build all that. That just seems crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's some are interesting to think about when considering JavaScript for writing your application. Is that the JavaScript engine itself is going to have functions that are optimized and written in native code, like JSON.parse. And the cool thing that React Native does is that it just lets you expose your own native functionality in a similar way. And then you really are free to move between the layers.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. So let me ask you kind of a follow-up question after seeing that really cool demo. So I can totally tell, I'm sure everybody else can tell, that this Xbox Store is much faster than the previous Xbox Store. So how exactly was that achieved, kind of at a high level? You know, what factors played into that speed improvement?
Yeah, so there is a couple compounding factors there. The previous store was a single code base and ran on all Windows devices. The new Xbox Store is only running on Xbox, and that in itself is a huge reduction in scope. You end up needing to write less code. Your app stays smaller. It's quicker for you to develop things, and your test matrix is reduced incredibly. Another factor is the developer productivity that we've experienced with React Native. Any high-quality app that you're going to ship is going to take some amount of performance tuning and investigation to get things to look as smooth and buttery as you want it to be. And something that, and in our case, the efficiency that we the efficiency provided to us by React Native directly translated into more time that we could spend tweaking the app, profiling it, and making sure that everything worked just perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's transition into Q&A now. Kevin and Steven, hopefully, if you guys in the audience have questions for Kevin or Steven all about Xbox and React Native for Windows, definitely leave those questions in the little live chat. But for now, I can kick this off with a question for Kevin. So I know that a big thing about seeing cool new technology is getting really excited about it, but then wondering, I don't know if I want to, you know, do a full rewrite or build a new app. So can you use React Native for Windows just in portions of your Windows app?
Yeah, one of the things that I think is important, exactly what you said, is nobody wants to rewrite the stuff that works well. And if they're going to start with something, they want to start with the component. Hopefully, maybe you can get something that's close to being pre-built that you need to tweak, or if you want to swap out some experience in your application and give it a try. So we definitely allow you to be able to mix and match technologies so you can either try them out, reuse, share cross-platform, and get that optimization. So that's very easy to go do, and we make it seamless. And the reality is, if using WinUI behind the scenes and then use a React Native for Windows, the actual controls powering it on the system are actually the same exact controls. So that high-performance interaction, the seamless animations between components, all will work exactly like you'd expect, even though the code for handling the UI might be slightly different, or handling the behavior of the app.
Right. Awesome. So does that also work for technologies like WPF or WinForms?
Yeah, actually, they came first. We did it to enable them to interop first, because they predated React Native for Windows. But okay. Our compositing layer, we have a layer below our UI layer, call it compositing layer. That layer allows you to mix and match different UI technologies. So even though React Native for Windows is using WinUI directly and renders directly through it, the other ones render themselves. And you may even want to use DirectX. So you can do everything from DirectX to any of the other UI technologies and mix and match them because of our compositing layer underneath it.
Wow, well, that sounds great. let me give a question to Steven here. So, you know, React Native for Windows makes it easy to build native apps and have them run on Xbox and PC and a bunch of other form factors. But, you know, if someone's interested in creating an app for Xbox, how is it different from creating an app for PC?
Yeah, so some of the specific considerations when targeting Xbox are the size of your UI. In general, your UI is going to be a little bit larger than it would be, considering a 1080p screen that you sit 2 or 3 feet from versus a 1080p or 4K TV that you're closer to 10 feet away from. Is to make sure that you think about how the controller is going to behave. You have to remember that your users don't have a mouse or a touchscreen to rely on.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, yeah, thinking about the gamepad must be kind of a whole other layer in developing the Xbox app. Sorry, did you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's fun, honestly. We get to spend time with our designers figuring out like what each button does. And in the future, there will be some fun power user / Easter eggs coming from the different button functionality.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Let's see. All right. Question for Kevin here. So we've been hearing about how great React Native for Windows is. Can we hear a little bit more about which Windows versions it supports, and as well as which devices it supports? Specifically, I know I listed a bunch before, but I have a feeling there's a few more.
Yeah, so it'll work all the way up from the fall creators update all the way up. It's supported by all devices that support Windows 10, Xbox, HoloLens. In addition, it also will support WinUI 3.0. So once WinUI 3.0 releases, you'll be able to target React Native for Windows to WinUI 3 rather than WinUI 2, which will give you the ability to use the one that is decoupled from the operating system, much like React Native is decoupled, and that way you can target even more versions of Windows.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, when UI 3.0, you're speaking my language. I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, let's do another question for Kevin. Kind of getting into the JavaScript versus TypeScript debate. Does React Native for Windows work against TypeScript?
The simple answer is yes. I mean, of course, we believe in TypeScript. We think there's a huge community there. And we support that community fully with React Native for Windows.
Awesome. That's great to hear. So let's see. Stephen, a question for you. Did you or your team ever consider using Electron for the Xbox Store? As I know, that's maybe something that people think of when they think about technology similar to React Native for Windows.
Yeah. So we shipped an experience on desktop using Electron, the Xbox app there. But when it came to the console experience, we weren't able to seriously entertain Electron, unfortunately. It just uses too much memory for it uses more memory than we can budget for a system application.
Okay, makes sense. So Kevin, let's get back to you. Is there any kind of recommendation on wrapping or otherwise in React Native in terms of, you know, controls and the technology in general?
So I guess there's a few things, principles, and none of them are perfect. They're all principles, and you have to go look at the different situation to actually make a choice. But I tend to recommend that you do the least wrapping possible. When you can use a native control, it's optimized, it's been tested, it's been validated, works like the rest of the system. So where you can use a complete system control, you should go use that. Where you want to build a custom control, that makes complete sense. I think Steven showed that with some places where he built a custom control that then he reused. But where possible, I would say use the native control to get that feel and character of the operating system versus trying to emulate it. Because emulating, the user can always tell it feels a little bit different, operates a little bit differently. But both of them are supported, and you know, every developer will make a choice based on their system. But that's sort of my high level recommendation. But even then, the JavaScript is pretty quick, you know, and so if you want to build some controls, I think that works pretty well.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think having the native app look native is it's a big deal. That's for sure. So another question for you, Kevin. So I think a lot of people, when they hear the name React, they may think of Facebook. So is Microsoft working with Facebook at all on this project?
Yeah, actually, we work very closely with them. We think it's important. It's just part of working with the community. And obviously, some of the larger names and people who are investing more resources in building it, they want to be able to cooperate together. So we are in full cooperation and partnering with Facebook. We talk to them on a regular basis to make sure that we're moving forward in the same direction so the community can build cross-platform applications. Actually, the Facebook Messenger app on Windows is actually currently built using React Native for Windows. So they are also not just a contributor to the ecosystem, but a consumer of the technology themselves. And I think that's important. They consume it, we consume it. We all then have a vested interest in making sure the community has the best debugging tools, fundamentals, and all those things that we want, every developer wants. You know, and sometimes if you're not a consumer of the technology and using it in your own apps, sometimes you don't see or experience it. So I think that's super important that we as a company and they as a company both are consumers of it. And building great applications with it as well.
Yeah, awesome. So I think we have a live question here. This is also for you, Kevin. So are there special things to consider when thinking about accessibility with React Native, or is the story similar to WinUI as it uses WinUI under the hood?
One of the goals is actually to make it so you don't have to do that differently and the system handles it. I didn't mention that as one of the fundamentals. But to me, you know, it's just like the basics. An app has to be accessible, and we do an incredible amount of validation, testing, and work to make the underlying controls accessible to all different input types, different devices, any peripheral that might be optimized for a different type of user. We make sure all that happens, high contrast mode, built in by default. So there, all those things will get there. And that's one of, I think, the values of using something like React Native is each of the underlying platforms, us and those who build the other platforms, care about accessibility and make sure our native controls are optimized for all audiences. And React Native for Windows builds upon that that inherent capability in the platform that is so important. I think it differentiates in some ways the model that React Native for Windows uses. So you build the most inclusive experiences and don't have to rebuild all that work. And because sometimes what I've learned is you can emulate the user experience from a visual point of view of the native, but you very rarely do you get it the level of testing for the large types of audiences that are out there, so that someone coming, say, visually impaired will not see it as a one-off and confusing. And versus if it uses more of the native controls, it will feel exactly, their custom peripherals will work with it exactly the same. There's huge benefit, I think, in the inclusiveness of, you know, the audiences out there by using something like React Native and the native built-in controls.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think that's such an important point that you brought up as well. You know, having those native capabilities probably just makes things even easier. So that question was from Marcel Wagner. Thanks, Marcel. Hope you're doing well. All right. Let's do another question for you, Kevin. You know, as for the developer experience for React Native for Windows, which I know you've touched on quite a bit, are there any developer, you know, developer tools that you want to go into detail about and share with everybody that are kind of extra special and just make developing with React Native for Windows a real pleasure?
Yeah, I mean, you can, I think we still have demoed with VS Code, as well as other JavaScript tools that are out there. And so we have extensions into VS Code and other systems that are out there. And so we actually work with really every system that's out there that uses and supports JavaScript. Our goal is not to be prescriptive about which tools to work, but to make sure the ones that developers use feel natural, work exactly the way they want to. We just plug in as expected.
Yeah, definitely. A little bit more on kind of the tooling and development side of React Native for Windows. Steven, here's a question for you. What about testing? So, you know, using JavaScript, there's got to be some differences in testing. What's the testing process like, and how is your experience with it when building the Xbox Store app?
I've had a positive experience with testing a React Native application. It is a little different, but one of the fun things about JavaScript is that it is very easy to mock your dependencies or other modules that you rely on. So whereas in C#, I sometimes would spend a good amount of time either doing manual dependency injection, wrapping things in interfaces. In JavaScript, I mostly am able to rely on Jest and just tell it, hey, Jest, go mock this other thing. And then it just works. I don't really have to make the product code larger or more confusing with the interfaces. Once you get used to interfaces, they're fine, but they can be confusing for people when they're first starting a project. And something that's very cool about testing is the snapshot tests. I'm not aware of a equivalent that you can have in native applications put of a snapshot test. I am able to render the app overview component in a test and then see what its serialized output is. And this is extremely helpful, especially when you have lots of different components throughout the project, and it becomes harder to keep track mentally of every single use case for all of those components. When you use snapshots, you're able to run them and then see what snapshots updated, and then go and check, is that snapshot update right, or did I break something?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks for those details. I think that testing is such an important part of things, and at the beginning of the answer, you said, you know, it just works, which is awesome. That's something you always want to hear. All right. Well, it looks like we are almost at time here. So I think we're going to wrap up this Q&A. But Kevin, before we go, do you have any other announcements, things that you want to share with everyone?
One of the things that I think are just key, and I love hearing different perspectives, is Windows will support you with whatever type of language you want to go use. Here, we've talked a lot about JavaScript and TypeScript, and there are a set of people. And you know, to me, a lot of times I choose the language based on what free code I can get out there. Like, what is out there in the ecosystem? And if someone wrote it in some language, wow, I don't want to rewrite it. I just want to be able to use it in my application. And I think it's great that there's this huge community and pool of code that developers can just take that have been validated and tested, and they can just reuse it and build it into their application and still get all that great stuff that Steven shows, high performance, quality, you know, the experience that we all love, integration with the system components and colors. Like, that to me is really the most important thing that we enable. And this has brought in, I think, a huge audience, and I'm excited what we've done with React Native for Windows. Obviously, not our only audience. We love our C# developers. We love our C++ developers. But really, this demonstrates how you can bring that together and use kind of the best. You can write it in C# with TypeScript. If you love that, you can integrate in native components. It brings together the best of all of the languages and the best of the capability. That's why I think we're seeing so much excitement about it.
Yeah, awesome. All right. If there's nothing else that anybody wants to share, Steven, do you have any last words that you want to share with everybody?
No, I just wanted to say that I think Kevin put it very well, that React Native really, it's not here to replace anything else. It's here to give you a tool set and to bring out the best from all of the different tool sets.
Okay. Yeah, totally. I agree. All right. Well, with that said, I want to give a huge thank you to Kevin and Steven. Thanks for joining us, showing us these demos, talking all about React Native for Windows and Xbox. This was really cool to see. Thanks to everybody in the audience. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And yeah, I guess we'll see you next time. All right.
Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.